Good afternoon, everybody. This is Bart Sharp with Becoming Quantum Conscious with on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 107.7 and 105.3. And we really welcome everybody today on this beautiful afternoon in Austin, Texas. Of course, United Public Radio is coming out of New Orleans, Louisiana, which I'm sure is having a beautiful day just as we are. We have a little bit of cold spell in the south, which is always welcome in March, coming into April. We love it. But today on Becoming Quantum Consciousness, we are going to be welcoming Robin Hart Shepherd. And excuse me, that's the Dr. Robin Hart Shepherd. And being that I'm kind of new into the radio, I am in the fool's journey still, which I'll explain later about what all of that means. I just wanted to see that if you are already tuned in, if you could let us know whether you can see Robin's face, we would really appreciate that because I'm having some technical difficulties over there. And if not, she's going to be the mysterious woman that you can only imagine what she looks like, unless you go onto her website at compassionateclearings.com and you can see her there. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Robin Hart Shepherd, or excuse me, Dr. Robin Hart Shepherd. I'm going to have a good time with that. She is a woman of many talents, and she is a holistic chiropractor. She is a forager and a herbalist. She currently does an eclectic style energetic psychology. She has named Compassionate Clearing based on five different modalities of energetic clearings, including EFT tapping, emotion code, Eric Dossett's clearing energy transformation, and Raymond Grace's work. She weaves these together and relies on her intuition to direct her to use the best of these methods for each individual session. And if you were counting the five different modalities, you notice that I just had four. And the fifth, I guess, is Tarot. And she uses this. And I know from experience that she is an excellent Tarot card reader. And I find Tarot quite fascinating. So, Robin, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
And you've been doing Tarot for quite a while.
About 38 years, as a matter of fact.
Wow. So you kind of got it down by now.
A little bit.
Yeah, but what started you reading Tarot? What brought you to that window?
Well, a friend came over. And she had a different deck. It was an oracle deck, and it was called a Secret Dakini. And she had been doing, learning to do readings with that deck. And she did a little free card reading for me. And it was so astonishing how correct the reading was. And I wanted, of course, immediately to know how she did it. And I got a Dakini deck. But I found that the Dakini deck was limiting with nuances. And so not too long after that, I got a Tarot reading from someone in Austin. And it was so amazing. Wow. It was so correct that I just had to buy myself a deck. She recommended the Rider-Waite deck, which I went out and got, and I've since learned, yes, that's it right there. And I've learned to that's probably the most widely used deck out there. I bought a book, and this book was written by, what was her name? I'll think of it in a minute. And She just
Debbie Juliet Sharman Burke.
Yes.
Story of Tarot.
Yes.
All right.
That's it. Thank you. She was. She wrote out step by step how to do the tarot, and it's laid out in such a way that if you know the basic layout of it, you already begin to have an idea of what each card means. Because first of all, well, other than the major arcana is 22 cards. They start at zero, which is the Fool, which is the beginning of your journey. And they end with the World, which is the end of your journey. But the minor arcana are in a lot of ways like a regular deck of cards. And these are all combined. It is presumed that initially only the major arcana were used. We know so little about the origins of Tarot. The very first time we know that the Chinese were using card decks before the 11th century, but of course China was closed at that time, and we don't have their records. What we have in the West is the first time anybody wrote about it was a monk in Switzerland in 1377. And that monk said that this, he wrote this essay when he described a game of cards which outlined the state of the world as it was then. He said he was ignorant.
But when you say the state of the world, are you saying that the deck of cards that he made and designed were a representation of what he saw the world as a complete picture?
No, he didn't write. He didn't make those cards. He's saying that he came upon these cards. And okay, by the state of the world,
he's conveying, though.
What he was conveying, I think that these cards initially were used by royalty, and they were used by royalty to tell them about, you know, should I go to war, really major world kinds of themes. And I think that's why this monk described it that way. And furthermore, the next time we found any written evidence of the Tarot is in 1392, when a sum was entered into the court ledger of King Charles VI of France, stating that money had been paid to a Wachamine Grigonier to create three decks of cards illustrated in gold and diverse colors, ornamented with many devices. Mm-hmm. So each one of these cards was hand-painted. So we can assume that they were very expensive. Of course, they didn't have printing yet. Printing had not come into being at that time. So anything that was written or had pictures was hand-painted.
Sure.
And we can only imagine that those three decks he ordered cost a minor fortune with all those cards.
Well, and isn't it in Margaret Starbird's book, Woman with the Alabaster Jar, which is a wonderful book if you're interested in Mary Magdalene. But
and I love the book.
Yes. And I thought she also mentioned that a form of cards that was similar to Tarot that she alluded could be Tarot were made by the Templars and were, of course, describing major arcana in a more Jesus, Magdalene, or God and Goddess motif. To me, this is really painting this picture of the world. And like when you hold a deck, you're kind of holding a world of possibilities.
Well, yes, yes. That's, see, the deck went several different ways, but when the Catholic Church was busy stamping out all the other sects of Christianity, they were murdering the Cathars, and then eventually they were murdering the Knights Templar. And we think, or they think, that the Knights Templar and those who were of a mystical nature hid the information in the symbolism in the cards to be able to hold on to their spiritual beliefs through the cards, which they displayed as being merely a game that people were playing.
It was just one of the many ways that, you know, some of the ancient stories that came before Christ and were being preserved. And of course, some of the original teachings of Jesus and what, you know, a lot of people felt that he was. And of course, Mary Magdalene and all that crew.
Yeah,
they were all up there.
The old gang around the corner.
Yeah, just the whole crew up there. And we didn't want those stories to be forgotten. And being that I travel to France a lot, I'm constantly reminded of all of the ancient symbols out there through art, through the churches, et cetera, et cetera. There's just tons of stories that only a learned eye can understand. And of course, if somebody's trying to bust you for heresy, per se, you can say, oh, well, you know, those three moons, they're just pretty that way. They don't mean that Jesus is the sun and Mary Magdalene is Venus and such. What do you mean? You know, it's that type of hiddenness that was always necessary. And to me, that's part of the mystique of them and part of the mystique of the Rider-Waite deck. Because Rider-Waite doesn't have ancient stuff.
Well, the thing about Rider-Waite was not designed until the 1800s. And we know that the decks were used in the 1700s and 1800s much more frequently than they had been in the past. But Rider-Waite came along during that, when there was the spiritualist movement going on. And it was the most complete. The man who designed the cards was, last name was Waite, and he was a member of the Golden Dawn. And so he was a Kabbalist. So he had this idea to make the cards more easily accessible by putting all the symbolism in the cards. And he hired a young woman who was also in the Golden Dawn to paint all these pictures for all of this. And then Rider published it. So they were all a part of this, this mystical group.
It's about that time that the Catholic Church finally wasn't doing the heresy trials for people for various reasons. There was kind of a huge expression of freedom, or let's just say a huge allowance for people to express different forms of spirituality at that time. So that was busting out, and that's a lot of why spiritualism came out in the open, out of the closet, so to speak.
Right. And it was very popular at that time.
Yeah. So Mr. Waite was just, or it could be Mrs. Waite, was right there in the middle of it with that.
Yeah, he was, I think he was the Grand Master of the Golden Dawn Society.
Yeah. And they were popping up everywhere. Thank God. It just tells you how probably secret all of that was. And when one person opened it up to be so daring to expose themselves, so many people followed in different ways. I wanted to just say it out to the audience. If you are listening to us or can see us, what we understand is Robin can't be seen due to her something of a technological glitch. I'm like the fool. I'm still in the infancy of learning radio and the technology behind it. And sometimes it just doesn't work for reasons unbeknownst to either one of us. But if you have questions for Robin, please ask them. And this was a really good one with Carrie Languedoc. She says, my weight deck says Pamela Coleman Smith help author weight design it.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised about that at all.
Yeah.
At all. She really was almost forgotten in history until recently. And feminists have jumped up and said, you know, how dare you forget the most important person in this? But really, it took all three of those beings to get that deck out. Well, it's just that when you look at that, the beauty in that deck, that was all her work. It was just that writer was willing to publish that at that time, and that Waite was the grandmaster, and he was telling her what needed to be on there. But the artwork itself was hers. Yeah.
It's such a complex deck, and that's why I like it. I'm not a tarot reader, but I have my own deck, and I use it for little blurby questions that I have. Should I go out tonight, or should I go, you know, do this activity with another person or something? And if I have a big question, I will get a professional. Hence the daughter here.
I like reading for you, Bart.
Yeah, you're fun. And it's all, I'm always amazed on how it goes beyond logic. And I know you told me one time that you spent a day with every card contemplating its meaning. Like that was the theme for today, that day, is to read about it, to look at it, to meditate on it, and to really just create kind of an intimate relationship with each card.
Well, and that's not something you do in just one day. It takes really what they recommend that you do when you start reading tarot is to take one card per day and read about its meaning, and preferably from two or three different authors, read about its meaning and contemplate it, and just one card a day until you learn the whole you learn the whole deck. What yeah. I did instead, and this worked for me, and you know, everybody's going to have their own way of doing it, is that I would ask a question, and you have to learn how to properly formulate the questions. The tarot does not answer yes and no. So you can say, what's the energy surrounding my taking this job? And it'll give you the energy surrounding it, but it'll never say, yes, you should take it, or no, you shouldn't take it. You first carefully formulate your question. And then what I have since learned to do, I wasn't doing it early on, but what I've since learned is real important, is that I start out with a prayer and I ask my guides and angels and totems to come forward and help me with it. And I asked for the guides and totems and angels of the people that I'm working with for them to come forward and help me with it also, so that you get that clarity. Because sometimes I can look at a reading. Now, it rarely happens anymore, but early on it happened a lot. I could look at a reading and go, God, I don't know what it's really telling me here. And I think as the years have gone on, I've gotten better and better, because instead of me trying to decide what it's saying, I listen to what it's saying. And it comes in because you can.
Hang on. When you say listen to what it's saying, what does that exactly mean? Because the question I want to ask you is, because I'm still at an intellectual level with my tarot deck, and I'll probably stay there because that's not my main modality. And I have a book and I read the cards when I lay out three cards. But for you, you say you listen to the deck. How did that advancement and awareness come down?
It was a process of learning to trust my intuition. Initially I would think to myself, no, that couldn't possibly be true, because I would already have my mind made up about what kind of answer I was going to get. And I would get an answer and decide that it meant XYZ instead of saying, okay, spirit, please tell me what this means, and then listening and waiting. Sometimes the information comes through in pictures, and sometimes it comes through in a voice in my head, and sometimes it's just a solid knowing. Because in a little while, I'm going to tell you a story about a young man I did a reading for, where the card that came up for him has about 6 or 7 different meanings that it could mean, and it didn't normally mean the one that I thought it did. But when it came up, it was very shocking to me. But I went with that, and it turned out to be so true.
Do you remember the card itself?
Yes, I do. The card was the Empress. And if you have a traditional, and I'm calling Rider-Waite traditional.
Yeah, if you have with Rider-Waite on this talk, by the way, everybody, I'm trying to find my Empress card. I think she's the sexiest card in the deck, personally.
Oh, do you really?
if she showed up at my door. I don't know. I mean, I would feel like I've met a Magdalene type or something like that, because she is, dancing with exotic goddessism and stuff. And
well, the Empress is number 3 in the major arcana. And if you look at her, for those of you who are not seeing a picture, the Empress is sitting on lush cushions, and in front of her, she's got on a beautiful gown that goes to the ground.
There we go.
She has, there you go, wheat at her feet, which wheat symbolizes being able to eat, so there's plenty of food. She's got a beautiful forest behind her. She has a stream on the right side, so there's fresh, clean water. There are stars in her crown, and she has on a lovely necklace, and she has a scepter. And if you will look down in the left-hand corner, there is a heart with the female symbol in it. But the big deal on this card, would you hold it back up one more time?
Oh, yeah.
The big deal on this card, which if you look at her closely, she's pregnant. Now, normally when you read that card, you don't think pregnant. You think fecund. F-E-C-U-N-D. She's got everything she needs. Mm-hmm. She is just full of the richness of life.
And isn't it interesting that in a lot of statues in France, they have a statue that looks like Mother Mary, looks like Mary Magdalene, and she is subtly pregnant like this statue. We see it all over the place in France.
Yeah, and of course you have to realize that, you know, up until about the 60s or 70s, we didn't have birth control, and really being pregnant was a good thing. It was a great thing to have, you know, as many children as you could.
Yeah, it's a different now.
So you
were telling us also about that you were doing this reading for a young man. What made the Empress so significant in his reading?
Well, okay. So what made the Empress significant was that, like I said, normally if I get that card, particularly as the outcome card for somebody, I just go, wow, you know, whatever it is you're asking about, go for it, because everything's available for you. You know, you've just got it all. If you go in this direction, you're gonna, you know, be abundant. You're gonna have abundance. But if you're not listening to your intuition, you might miss something. And that is that in this particular issue, pregnancy was the big deal. This young man and his mother, he had been accepted in 5 different colleges with scholarship. And there were 3 that he was the most interested in. So he and his mother went to visit 2 of the colleges, one which was up in the Northeast. He was very excited about the college in the Northeast. But his mother didn't want him going there because he was a Texan, and this was going to be very, very, very insanely cold for him in the wintertime, which he was not accustomed to. And also it was going to be more expensive flying him back and forth when he came home. You know, there were just a lot of reasons that she wanted him to be in the South. Well, he wound up going to the college in the South and looking it over, and he stayed for 4 days. And during that time, he met a young woman that they just immediately hit it off, immediately. And there was just a lot of happiness and romance in that relationship. But at the last minute, she told him, I love you. And he felt very turned off. He felt like it was a manipulation. So he left, came back home, and he couldn't quit thinking about her. But when I laid down the cards, I told him that I saw some health issues if he went up north. But I also looked, and I looked, there was the Empress sitting there for this when I did the reading on going to the college to the South. And under normal circumstances, I would say, wow, well, it looks like you might even be, offered some kind of job on the side where you could make some extra money and things will go really well. But I looked at her, and following my intuition, I knew without question that this was going to be a pregnancy. Woo. with a girl that he would meet. And of course, I didn't know he'd already met the girl. And he wasn't saying a word. He had his mouth zipped shut. And I said, yeah, it's really going to bring you both a lot of hardships. I don't know if you'll have to drop out of college or what's going to happen. But, you know, this is not going to be a good thing. Well, both he and his mother went, okay, I'm going up to the college in the Northeast. I mean, it was like that quick. Yeah. Well, later, much later, like, I don't know, after he had graduated from college, he came back to me and privately told me about this girl that he had gone nuts over at the Southern College, and that he, you know, he absolutely did not want marriage. He did not want, I mean, he was just starting into college, you know, he was very young and had a bright future ahead of him. And he was just worried sick about this relationship after I did the reading. But I'm using that only as an example to let you know that you have to just sit back and let the information come in. And
the books can't always guide you.
No, but they give you the background and the basics in, and if you don't have those, you're not going to do as good a job.
So when I see this card,
the devil,
you know, of course I want to freak out like something horribly bad is going to happen.
But
yet there's a lot of powerful symbols here that it could be addiction. It could be chained to something. It could be that you are in a very powerful, grounded situation. And you probably have more to add to that.
I wouldn't say powerful, grounded situation at all. For those of you who cannot see the cards, the devil is number 15 in the major arcana, and it shows a devil, and beneath him is a couple, female on the left, male on the right, and they have chains around their neck, and they're chained to this post that the devil is sitting on. So what I tell people, because they kind of recoil when they see that card come up in a reading, and I say to them, hold on a minute, let's think about this. Look at the chains around their neck. Are the chains tight enough that they're choking them? No, they're not. Are they loose enough that they could slip those chains over their head and be free if they wanted badly enough to be? Yes.
So much about tarot gives you visions and options. And as a reader, that's what you're looking for.
Right. I'm looking for, what is the card telling me today? Tomorrow, it may tell me a different story.
Yeah.
With a different person and a different question. So,
however, I see this card, I've never found this one to have any good news.
Okay, so what Bart is showing here.
I think I should go to dinner with this woman. And I get this card and I'm like, maybe not.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening on the radio and cannot see this card, it is the Ten of Swords. And it shows a man laying down on face down on the ground with 10 swords in his back. And I will say that is definitely not a happy card.
Yeah, I guess you got to have some. I think we need a tarot card that's like the dirty diaper card, like it shows a man in diapers and they're all kind of soiled, you know. It's like, you know, it's your shortcomings and your shortcomings just came apparent. You know, but no, there's no dirty diaper card in the tarot out there. But there's so
well,
many
this card. If this card shows up in reading, I can assure the person that whatever we're asking about, if it's in the right spot, is an absolute no-no.
Yeah.
Now you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Not only in interpreting it, but what you repeat back to the person that's getting the reading.
So what do you do when you look at a deck and you just see kind of a looming disaster for somebody, and you know that that's not what they really
were hoping for,
came there to hear, or that they could actually want to handle that or could handle that?
You know, that takes time and wisdom to learn how to deal with that. And early on, now I will say that other than for friends and family, I don't do readings anymore unless they are in conjunction with my energy clearing business, because so many people in the public who come for a reading come to try to prove me wrong and prove me a phony. And I don't want to deal with that. I'm so beyond that. And I don't need to prove anything. And I'm not going to fight with anybody about what I get.
Okay.
But what I get is like early on when I was doing this for a lark, I decided to read cards at a fair, a festival that was happening out in Central Texas. And these two women came, and one woman, they both sat down in front of me, and one of them said she wanted the reading. So I asked the other woman to leave. I said, you know, it's important that you leave so I can give her a private reading. Well, the woman next to her said, oh, no, she's free to sit here with me. Well, that was kind of a disastrous kind of thing, because she just said, oh, just tell me what's going on in my life. I just want to see what you have to say about my life. And I hate it when people come to me and they don't have specific questions in mind, because in this case, when I laid it out, it was just one of the worst readings I had ever seen. And I said, well, so you're really concerned about your marriage. I see that you're having a lot of problems in your marriage. And she said, oh, no, I'm not. And
yes, I am.
I was so astonished, and I looked back down at the cards again. And of course, my reaction was, I just wanted to say, why are you lying about this, woman? But I noticed that she was just kind of pale and kind of glancing at her friend sitting next to her. And so she was telling me nonverbally, very clearly, that she did not want her friend to be hearing this. So I thought, well, okay. I said, oh, well, this may be a little bit of trouble that's coming up sometime soon, and I'm sure y'all will work it through. And that's how I dealt with that. But I looked at it, it was just one bad news thing after another. Her son was having all kinds of trouble. It looked like he had had a brush with the law, and I sure wasn't going to bring that up in front of this other woman.
Well, sometimes, you know, the truth hurts, but also in a person's defensiveness, do you think it kind of inhibits the reading and even what you can see? If they don't want to see it, do you think your own perceptions are lessened?
Well, that's possible, but I don't think so. I don't think that's what happens. There's no question in my mind now, and there was no question in my mind then, that her son was probably sitting in jail. If not, he had a lawsuit hanging over his head about something. So I just kept looking at the different cards to try to find something positive to tell her. And I did. I said, it looks like you do volunteer work. I suspect, is that at your church? And she nodded. And I said, well, you're doing really well there. And that's a wonderful contribution that you're doing for the world, you know, and keep it up. And so that was kind of, you know, I talked about little things around like that. And so they got up and left. And the thing that made me know that she felt bad about lying to me was that she came back by the booth later with the other woman not with her, and put a $20 bill down. She'd already paid for her session, but she put an extra $20 bill down on the table and said, oh, I just wanted to thank you again for that reading. And for me, that was her, you know, her apology.
Yeah.
For sitting there and lying about what was going on.
My friend, don't tell my mama.
And to this day, I have no idea why she would sit down for a reading with her friend sitting there beside her, and she didn't want her friend to know what was going on in her personal life. I mean, it's
I just think that that's just kind of like a showing a bond of trust with that. But I wanted to go back to another question. Uh-huh. You know, you talked about that you do a rich array of modalities for energetic clearings, transformation. You know, some people might call it healings, but it's more emotional transformation. And then including Tarot in that, you know, I think is a really great advantage, because the difference between that and doing therapy, I would think, is you are offering guidance and counsel and exploration into things that people can't see. You know, and I'm not trying to knock therapists or counselors, because that process is about a person exploring their own issues and a therapist kind of guiding that, but not like saying, well, here it is. Here's something really big that seems to be highly repressed. And the cards can start to show you those things when you work with a client.
Right.
And you know, I think it's a wonderful way to bring that out.
Well, I think one of the things is that sometimes when I'm working with a person and we're doing clearings, if they're really, really anxious about something, it interferes with the clearings. And so I'll stop and say, look, let's take a look at this with the Tarot and just see if what you're feeling about this is really right. And if it is, then we'll change directions with the clearing. And one of them was a young mother who was going to Afghanistan, and she kept telling me that she was afraid that when she was deployed, that she was something terrible would happen to her in Afghanistan, and that she was never wrong, that her gut always told her the right thing. And we were trying to do clearings about other things. And so I said, stop, let's take a look. And I did a reading, and it was real clear to me that she was not going to be injured during that year that she spent there. And so I said, you know, I really applaud your listening to your gut. And I'm not sure what this is about, but you are going to be physically safe while you're there. Well, and she was. But when she came back the next year, that's when the trouble came in that she had perceived. And it was that she had two little girls. She had to leave them with her husband, who was also in the military. And both of the girls were deeply wounded that she had been gone for a year. But the oldest child was so angry with her that they didn't have a good relationship for about 8 months after that. So what I told her was that both of us were right. You know, my reading was right that she was safe, but her feeling that she wasn't going to be safe was right too. It just wasn't about being in Afghanistan. It was about leaving her children, who were going to resent her and feel deeply wounded about her leaving. Which, of course, she had no say about because she was in the military. But anyway.
Yeah. And that's just another kind of wound that might be harder to heal than a bullet hole.
Yeah.
With that. And, you know, and that's the beauty of Tarot. It does show you different things. I do like to use it in various ways and in defining my own life. Because I really see Tarot as a representation of the world. And it's going to be neat. Next week, we have this woman named Shifra Bloom, who will be explaining the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. And there's a lot of similarities in that The Tree of Life explains, or it shows a representation or a map of all the possibilities of what could happen. And that's so much with Tarot. The 52 cards are a map of the world. And when you do a layout like you do, I think you told me you do the Celtic cross layout, you get the components that are part of your world in relation to the whole world, which I think is wonderful, how that all comes together. And it's just this crazy feeling of we think about the topic that we're doing a reading on. We shuffle the cards. We stay concentrated and focused on that issue. The person stacks it three times, then we lay the cards out in whatever technique we're using, and it happens. Information happens from that part. That's something in the world, something in our psyches, something in the question comes through the cards. Does that happen every time that it comes out that insightful and profoundly? That, is there times that you go, wow, I don't really get this one, Are you there? Oh, Robin's device has just went away for whatever reason. Maybe she'll come back. I hope she does. I think she's having internet problems. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I use the Tarot is through their archetypes, because I really see the major arcana and all the other ones as ways that they can represent the archetypes that we live in. So one of the best examples, I had to get out my cards. I have them all laid out on this couch that I'm sitting on. I started becoming an energy worker using Access Consciousness. It's a very complex tool, amazing tool. And when I first started, I was kind of like this card, the Fool. I would try anything. I was learning my tools. And as you see, it's the Fool. He's about to step off the cliff and he's not paying attention because he's looking at the big picture all the time. He's trying to see all the possibilities possible. And there he is, just being in that place. And Robin is back. And Robin, I'm right in the middle of a story.
Okay.
You are there. So here I was doing Access Consciousness, and I was the Fool. I was trying all of this new things. It's like, well, what the heck? Let's just try this and this. And I was really getting my tools together and learning it. Just like on the radio, I'm making plenty of mistakes. Just ask my program manager, that I'm I'm making them. And, here, still on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 107.7 and 105.3. And we really am grateful they're there because it's an amazing show that they have of all of these great people doing different talk radio shows in the metaphysical realm. But, okay, so here I was the Fool. And it came to where I started perfecting my own tools. I started doing shamanistic work, and I was using a combination of Access Consciousness and shamanistic work, and I was inventing in my own world. So I became this, the magician. I was creating my own alchemy, and that was all great. And I was doing that for a few years, and I got to a level of understanding of my tool sets that really a friend of mine and I were having coffee and goes, Bart, nobody does what you do. you know, you're very special and unique in what you do. And you're no longer the magician. You are this person, which is the emperor. And I'm trying not to get the glare on this, but the emperor is who everybody comes to. They, you know, if you had to get something done, you got to go see the emperor. And that's how I felt about my clearings, is I had to see, you know, I had to, as I got to see, excuse me, I'm holding this card up is taken away from my concentration. And that's how I see myself now, as the emperor, that I have special gifts and talents that have developed and I continue to develop. And, you know, to get to that level of expertise, you had to see an emperor type of guy, and I'm on that list. So that's how the, you know, these three archetype cards have really served me, is they represent a story and they give you guidance, but more importantly, they give you confidence. And so whenever you're thinking about your story of your own life and your archetypes, you know, where are you in that? What are those cards that represent you? And that's some just wonderful food for thought there. Robin, do you have anything to share about that?
You know, I don't deal with the archetypes, Bart, so much.
And okay.
It's not that I don't believe in them. It's just that they've just never called to me. They've never particularly called to me. So I haven't gone into them. I do want to say about the cards that if you're learning to do the cards, which is what a lot of people are doing these days, I highly recommend the Rider-Waite deck. I have Oracle cards. Those are not Tarot. They just generally you'll pull one card or you'll pull two or three, and they'll give you some kind of general meaning. But the Tarot is a full set. And I have Oracle cards and I use them. Sometimes people come in and I'll say, just draw from this angel deck today. Let's see what message you have. But when you're doing the Tarot itself and you're looking at different decks, for instance, I have a cat deck, Tarot of the Cat People. Well, it's an interesting looking deck. It has cats on every card, but it doesn't have all the symbolism in it.
Rider-Waite is really has the complexity and depth, and maybe also the history.
Right.
You know, that we're also going down into, you know, what is in our older cellular memory, because these have been in consciousness for hundreds of years, likely.
Well, and the Rider-Waite, like I said before, was developed in 1902, but it was developed from the Kabbalah, which is much, much more ancient.
So it
carries the power of that with it too.
Yes. So we're coming to the end of the show. And if you had 30 seconds that you wanted to say, well, I just want to say this, in that Robin Shepherd, or Dr. Robin Hart Shepherd, has had years and years of experience, whether it be for as a chiropractor to a naturopathic holistic remedy healer, and now in the last 20 years has developed with EFT and other healing modalities, 38 years as a Tarot reader. So there's a lot of expertise that she has to share. And her website is Compassionate Clearings.
Not with an S, Compassionate Clearing.
Yes. And people have been seeing it on the ticker, but Compassionate Clearing, and that's Robin Shepherd, and that's S-H-E-P-P-E-R-D. So you can look her up on the net, or just go into Compassionate Clearing. www.ChristineLaRue.com and you'll find her. She works worldwide, as we all do these days, on Zoom and other apps. And so thank you for so much for being on the show, Robin.
Well, you're so welcome. It was fun talking to you about this.
Yeah, it's been fun. You're never a dull moment. I get readings from Robin from time to time, and they're always great.
Thank you.
So next week on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3, we will have next week, next Wednesday on the May 2nd, I believe. No, that's not right. April. Can't remember the date, but next Wednesday, that much I know, it's next Wednesday at 2:05, we have How to Embody More of Your Soul, which will be a study of healings with the Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism with Shifra Bloom. And that will be an amazing show because this lady was born studying mysticism. And I'm not kidding you. A whole life from childhood to adulthood in this one field of expertise. So it should be amazing. Thank you so much for everybody for tuning in. And my name is Bart Sharp with Becoming Quantum Conscious. And you can find me at bartsharp.com. Thank you so much.